Hey, what's up? Our guest today is Holly Hunt. You are here with Insiders of Omaha, and this girl is truly a rock star. She is an owner of Elevate Construction, focusing solely on commercial construction in the flyover states of God country that we're located in right now, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri. If you're looking for anybody that has a unique angle on how to go about building creative spaces in the commercial space, this is your guys' company you want to be communicated with. We are super happy to have her on, and we learned a ton about her, her mindset, and her company. And I think that you guys will really have a digestible experience here because of the way she approaches life and business. So it's going to be a treat for you guys to be able to check this out. So let us know what you think.
Yeah, and I actually learned quite a few things myself for like some things I'm going through mentally. So maybe you people pick up on the same things I did in this, but little housekeeping thing here, two things. One, if you guys are watching this, the only way this podcast has grown so far, and we've seen the most growth ever in the last 30 days that we've ever seen on the podcast. So if you guys are watching this, get any kind of value out of it, share it with a friend. It's only going to grow from word of mouth or on your social media or whatever. And the last thing, if you guys have any real estate related needs, this show is fully sponsored and put on by our personal real estate business. So feel free to reach out to us if you got any questions on that. Without further ado, let's get into the podcast. You ever done a podcast before?
Mm-mm. Oh, really? So this is fun.
I know. That's why I'm a little nervous. I do it Tuesday talks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, quick that, snippets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like of just you long. Or?
Nope. I interview somebody every week.
Okay.
Somebody in the industry typically, yep. And then post it on social media.
Okay. Yeah. That's sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
So how long have you been in construction? Your commercial construction. What does
commercial
that look
construction.
Like
I mean, I've been in commercial construction for about, I would say, 16 years now.
And before that, what was it? Like, how did you
commercial real estate?
Okay,
as an agent or?
No, I was not an agent. I actually worked for another company, just doing, I guess, miscellaneous work behind the scenes. And so I worked with a lot of real estate agents, but a component of that was actually construction management. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I initially got into it.
So you saw this opportunity?
Okay. So should I go into this?
Let's hear it. Give it to us raw, Holly.
Okay, great. So basically what we did, so when I first got into it, what we did is we went around the United States and basically we would find a space for scooters, Complete Nutrition, Profile by Sanford, all of these franchise concepts, we would find them a space, you know, somewhere in a retail strip.
Strip mall, yeah.
And then we would hire the architect and help with the design of the plans, and then we would hire the contractor. So I was on the other end of it, basically hiring the contractor and then managing that entire project from beginning to end. And so I got to see all the ins and outs of the construction process and worked, you know, very closely with the contractor and the client. And then basically it just formed an entire process around that. It was a turnkey service. And so working with so many different people and then did that for 3 years before deciding to start another company. And so I saw a little bit of what not to do, I guess. And so it was like, okay, here's what the client is wanting. The contractor isn't necessarily giving this to them. So how can we do this a little bit better? And so decided to start a company from that. And it was an amazing process because we were able to come in and kind of be a hero, I guess, because people weren't getting what they wanted. Mm. And so we were able to do that for them.
What were some of the things that you were hearing from people? Or I'm sorry, not even here, noticing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is not answering the mail here.
A lot of non-communication. So, you know, if a project wasn't going smoothly, a lot of times that was hidden from the client. And what we wanted to do is be very upfront. So if there was a problem, we want to come with a solution. And here's what's going on, but here's what we're going to do to solve this issue. And so a lot of times, you know, contractors would hide that and they would hide extra costs. You know, these people are spending thousands, millions of dollars, you know. And all of a sudden they could be hit with a change order that is like, oh my gosh, this is shocking. And they don't know why. And so that, you know, was thrown at them at the very end of the project and they're not prepared for this. So what we do is we come up front with that and say, okay, here's what we can do. Here's some cost management that we can do in order to make this a little bit less expensive for you to help you. Mm-hmm. So we're always trying to come up with, I guess, ways to solve that. In order to present it to the client.
How are you using that as a closing technique or conversation with potential clients then? Because it's kind of a, hey, this industry is a little shady, and we're not going to be shady. We're going to try to just make it a little easier for you when it is shitty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we really try to sit down with clients and have that conversation because I think, you know, it's a very competitive market.
Okay.
And so what we try to do is sit down with them just like this, one-on-one, and let's talk through what your expectations are of the project, and then how can we be that contractor for you that's going to be holding your hand along the whole process.
Do you think just by general disposition, the female mindset of more of the nurturing has been a benefit? Or
yes, absolutely. Of course, there's been a lot of issues being a female in the industry. Just
makes sense.
You know, a lot of hurdles that I've had to go through. But I think it really does help because I have more of that personal approach. Not to say that a male doesn't do that, but I help to bring, that nurturing approach to it, which I think has really helped our company.
Well, it definitely provides... It's definitely there's some bad news from a female is always easier than bad news from a male.
Yeah, for some reason.
Seriously, I'm like, okay. You know, versus I'm like, dude, something like, what? Did you not do it? You know, it puts a little bit on your heels in a good way of saying, okay, let's just see where we're at. This is neutral.
Right.
And now let's see how we can make it better.
Mm-hmm, okay. Exactly.
I do think there's something to what you said of like just bringing up the negatives though. Like people try to avoid the negatives.
Right.
Like you're talking about there's problems in the project.
Yeah.
I feel like bringing up the negatives is way easier in the long run.
It totally
suck for like 10 seconds, but other than that, it's so much easier.
As long as you're providing a solution to it, and it's not so bad, you know? Of course, with every construction project, there's going to be issues. There just is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as long as you're saying, okay, here's how we're going to solve this problem, it's a lot easier for somebody to handle it that way.
And you said that it sounds like you set the expectations up front that there's going to be problems.
Exactly, right? Yes. And we really try to talk with the clients up front about, here's how long this process is going to take. You know, here's what you're having to do with plans, which is always takes longer than people expect. We have to go to the city. We have to get a permit. That takes longer. And then here's how long the construction process is going to last. Yeah. So setting that expectation up front, you know, a lot of times we'll talk with people and we'll say, when are you expecting to be open?
Sure question.
And they'll say, you know, okay, it's March right now. I want to be open in June. Well, let's backtrack here. You know, let's talk about how can we actually, what's the earliest that we can get you open?
Yeah.
So typically, it's not going to be that quick because City of Omaha is going to take 8 weeks to get a permit. So
I mean, very rare are you sitting down with a client and you're like, oh yeah, that's a perfect timeline. And we'll make that we'll probably be ahead of schedule. You know, it's to me, it sounds like you want to be open as soon as possible. Okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And anything's possible with a little bit of money, but not, I mean, we can't work miracles.
Can't grease the skids that much politically, you know.
Yes.
As you've gotten in this, you talk about, I think it's fascinating when people see a problem, put a plan in place, like you said you saw, and you identified your first opportunity to basically go out and do it on your own. Because once you make the leap from out underneath the umbrella of the protection of a larger company that's been doing it, what was that first opportunity like and how did you seize it?
So, I mean...
Your first client, you know, who gave you the shot?
Yeah. So I would say when my business partner and I started Elevate, it was, you know, it was a scary process to go into a completely new business. We both have several years of experience. And so we know we can do it. But in order to get somebody else to believe in you, that's a little bit scary, right? But we knew we couldn't fail. And so we actually, we just started reaching out to people. Our very first client who believed in us, it was amazing because we actually went to her and said, you know what, we're starting something new. We understand if you need to use some other contractors, but here's what we're going to do for you. And she believed in us, and it's been an amazing relationship. We brought to her, you know, some of the concerns that she had faced previously, and it was, here's what we can do to make your concerns go away, and here's how we're going to work with you throughout this process. And you know, she's given us so many opportunities now that it's just been amazing. And so we always we're thankful for every single client who believes in us because it is a big, you know, it's a lot of money that they're spending throughout this. And so, yeah, I mean, basically we knew we couldn't fail. And so we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that all of our projects are successful.
Where did you notice that you had to, okay, so maybe I got the first client, tackle that. all of a sudden you got second, third, maybe, and all of a sudden I need some more people. Mm-hmm. What did that look mm-hmm. like for you as you kind of transitioned to
more leverage? As far as employees? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, talent is the biggest thing for us. In order to be successful, we have to hire really good talent, right? And mm-hmm. we are developing a culture that is a very, you know, work hard, play hard, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need people who not, it doesn't even come down to how much experience you have. It's, you know, how persistent are you going to be? How much integrity are you going to bring to the project? It really doesn't have to do with necessarily skills. It's being able to manage people and do it in the right way to where it's you're working together as a team. It's not one individual person. Mm-hmm. And so really hiring the right people has been, and we have a great team in place, but that's a really difficult process as well, because you can hire the wrong people and they can completely change your company, right? And so, we're very keen on how we hire the right talent. So it just comes down to making sure that they fit within our culture, they have the right mindset, and we have the same core values.
Sounds like you kind of have a process for that now that you've kind of established that's been successful.
Yeah, we do. So we really like to involve our current team. Of course, Craig, my business partner, and I, we initially meet with somebody who we're interested in hiring. And we sit down and have a very low-key conversation. It's not necessarily an interview, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we also like to involve our team with that. So introduce them to the team before we actually make a hire, and how well do they get along? And, you know, we obviously need collaboration. And so it's not just Craig and I making a hire, it's our entire team.
Mm-hmm. So you take a lot of input from those after you get done?
Absolutely.
What's that look like, that round table?
Yeah, it's a pretty...
It's like a culture fit type thing. Like,
yeah, you're trying to fit the exactly. Culture. Yeah. Because, you know, the worst thing that we can do is have somebody who isn't getting along with our team, and it's going to be seen on the project, you know, and subcontractors that we're working with, they, although they're not working for Elevate, they're still part of our team.
Totally,
right?
Yeah,
and so we need somebody who can also get along with all of them and collaborate with them. And so, it's kind of like a round table, but it's just a discussion, and maybe we'll have a drink with them. You know, let's see how they actually work with us when it's not, you know, this super intense interview, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
When you and Craig, how does that dynamic work? So anytime you have partnerships, there's always some friction, but, like, you know, at the same time, there's some belief within each other, some grace. Oh, yeah. How do you guys handle this, the dynamic, and what kind of are your guys' lanes that you guys oversee and then collaborate on?
Right. You know what? We actually fit perfectly together because we both bring different talent to the company. And mm-hmm. so Craig has a background where he's been in the field, and he's actually, you know, been a superintendent, and he's a project manager. So he brings a technical aspect to our company, where I have more of the business mindset and operations. Mm-hmm. And so we actually work very well together. Of course, you know, there's always going to be disagreements with partnerships. Mm-hmm. But what we do is just, you know, what are the pros and cons to the decisions that we're making? And then what is going to be best for the company? And so it's not, it works really well, you know. And the biggest thing, though, for us is that we're both making decisions with our team. And it's not just you're making this decision or I'm making this decision. It's a team approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. That makes sense.
Yeah.
When you do the partnership, a lot of times I've been guilty of this, but if you don't find somebody that has a complementary skill set, mm-hmm. somebody that fills the voids that you have, there is a lot more friction because you have these same ideas, and you're both drivers in the same direction, but it's like, but in different vehicles,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly, yes.
But when there's a complementary, it's like, I'm going to rely on you for some things that I just can't do.
Right, yes.
I don't want to.
Yes.
And vice versa.
Exactly.
And how did you guys come to meet each other? Like,
that's a good
one relationship away from being successful for almost everybody, right?
So right, how did that happen? Right. Yeah. So actually, I hired Craig to be a project manager at my last company. And so he worked for me at the time, but we really worked together. So we actually partnered up on several projects together. And so that's kind of where we found that dynamic where we worked really well. And so, you know, he brought the skill set that I did not have, and vice versa. And so we decided, you know what, we work really well together. We have the same core values and how we want to see a culture. And we really just loved meeting people throughout the Omaha area. And so we started, you know, reaching out to different people, found those relationships with subcontractors. And so it was like, okay, let's start something new and let's really bring this personalized approach to construction. Mm-hmm. Because it's not, construction is not sexy, right? And right. So it's like, well, let's do something different than all other contractors are doing. Let's sit down and have this conversation with clients and not make it too serious. And so that's when we decided to start Elevate and I guess just bring more of a personalized approach to construction.
What is the normal approach in the industry then?
I mean,
to me, that seems like a no-brainer.
Right? No, I mean, it's, I guess with most people, it's just kind of like, contractors are going to do, you know, what they want to do, right?
Okay.
They're in it to make money. We're all in it to make money, right? But it's more to them. It's a job, I guess. And so, yes, it's a job for us, but we're treating every project as if it's our own. And so, you know, as much detail that goes into every project, it's like, we have to make this amazing because this is somebody's dream, right? Mm-hmm. And so we try to put ourselves in their shoes and how they see the, you know, how they see the project coming together. It's okay. We want to be that individual for a minute and figure out what is the most important for them and how can we make this a reality?
So like most of the time, anytime I've dealt with contractors or builders, I'd put them like in the same mental category for me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just click with me that what you're saying. Most of the time it's like, you want to do something on your own, like your idea, they're mm-hmm. almost annoyed by it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, I know how to do it.
Exactly.
I know my way to
yes.
do it.
Yes.
Your approach is more like, what do you want to do?
Right. Yeah.
And we'll help you do it.
What?
That yeah. just clicked with me. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Because builders hate when you're like, I mainly dealt with builders because residential real estate. Yeah. They hate when you're like, oh, I'd love to make this happen. They're like,
can't do that.
Yeah. I already have my setup. I'm going to do it this way.
That's going to take too long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or take too long where they put some ridiculous number on it.
Yeah.
That's going to be an extra $200,000.
Well, that's exactly it, you know, and not to knock on anybody, but a lot of times, you know, they'll be like, well, that's going to be way too expensive.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what the client wants, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah,
and we're also going to come to them if cost is a big problem for them, then it's okay, how can we make this a little bit less expensive for
right.
you? Here's another alternate,
feel.
Right? Yeah. So we're trying to come to the table with a different approach that way. You
makes
know?
Sense. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
When you, I start hearing you talk and you're starting to establish it, to me, it sounds like not every client is a fit.
You're absolutely right.
Yes. Right. I mean, yes. you are establishing a niche of who works best for you and who would yes. be best served for you guys and right. vice versa.
Right.
Do you talk to clients about that? Like, hey, this is just as much about us figuring out if we're going to fit for you as if we'd actually, if we want to work for you.
Right.
Like
yeah.
that's, I mean, not to sound.
That is a big deal.
Not to sound arrogant, but guys, it's just, that's the reality. It's like not everybody's friends.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
You know, what's that look like for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, we're in commercial construction for a reason.
And before you start that, finish that, what would you say would be kind of your niche, what people think about, hey, commercial construction, we're not building high rises here.
Right.
We're doing like daycare. What does this look like?
Yeah. I mean, we essentially will build anything that is not a single family residential.
Okay.
So we will build a
small
strip
multifamily.
Center. Yeah,
commercial strip center.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. We would love to build a building and then finish out all the spaces within
gotcha.
It, right?
Okay.
That's cool. But we will do small projects and we'll do large projects. We don't say no to the size of a project because we don't want to be known for only doing small.
Right.
We don't want to be known for only doing large projects. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we'll do.
It's easy to get put in that bucket and stuff.
Well, what's your span then? Your dollar amount for project? You probably range between 2 and 100? I don't know.
So right now, is our dream project size is about 10 million, I would say.
Yep.
Eventually, we want to obviously do larger projects
yeah.
than that. But with our current team in place,
yes.
we're at about 10 million and under.
Okay.
But we have some clients who come to us and they're like, okay, we want you to build our building. But then we also just had somebody run into this building. Can you just fix the siding for us? You know, something
sure,
very small. Sense. But we want to be the contractor that is their go-to for everything,
yeah,
you know,
cool.
Because the minute that we turn down maybe, you know, maybe it's $100,000 project, they're going to go to somebody else who is willing to
and
do
that
it.
That relationship starts to form and yours
exactly.
takes away.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we want to be their go-to for literally everything. So
sorry.
That's smart.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, if it's the right client, you know, we want to be there for them.
I'm not trying to push back. I'm just curious. Do you feel like that's realistic? Like where you can serve every level at the highest level?
I do, because as long as we're hiring the right talent who fits that, then yes. Okay. So what we're trying to do with our team is really form a team that, okay, these people work great on smaller projects, these people work great on larger projects. And so we're not trying to make anybody do something that they're not good at, right? Because there are people who are better fitted for different types of projects.
So it's a matter of task organization.
Exactly.
And fill in the talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
How have you, what's your take on the talent in the marketplace?
You know, I will say it's really difficult. There's not a lot of people who want to do the trades anymore.
Sure.
You're still seeing that heavily.
Oh, absolutely. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would start to get better.
Getting worse. What makes you say that?
So it's getting more and more difficult every year to find good talent. Craig and I actually just had a conversation with a high school teacher, and we spoke to his class, mm-hmm. and people don't find construction interesting anymore. Unfortunately, you know, they'd rather be in an
America's
office.
America's soft. It's getting softer every day. Yeah. Come on now.
Unfortunately. But I really think it's important to start educating kids at a young age about it, because you can make just as much money in the trades as doing any other job.
Probably more.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Every day is different, so it can be really exciting. But I think they're taking away the classes, the shop classes, the wood classes.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know that.
They are.
Very limited nowadays. Or they're combined with 3D printing.
It's sad. Yes. Yes.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
I think we need to get that back into school and start, you know, educating kids and letting them know, okay, come on our job site, you know, see what's going on and learn the trades.
I love hearing that. That's
cool. But unfortunately, you know, we're not able to make that decision. But we can start, I think the more that we can start talking to classes, high schoolers about it, and it might help a little bit.
Have you noticed on the talent side, talent acquisition, that more companies are finding the good talent and then just locking them down on being, hey, we know you're good, but I need you 100% with us. We're just going to bring you on salary or bring you in. I mean, does that happen? Or are they still getting a lot of contractors, you know, they're being subbed out for a lot of different things?
You know what? I think the market is very competitive right now. And so people are trying to hold on to good talent. I think what we're seeing is just that a lot of companies are just hiring because they have to hire, and we never want to do that. We never want to be so desperate we're just hiring to hire.
Right.
So we will run very lean until we actually find the right person that we know is going to work within our team. Unfortunately, that means wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah.
You know, but it's worth it to make sure that we're hiring somebody and keeping them. So, you know, that's reviews. It's competitive salary. It's competitive benefits, you know. But, yeah, a lot of companies – they are trying to hold on to the talent, so they're paying high salaries. And so it's very competitive right now, and we're definitely seeing that.
Sounds like you might have an opening or two right now.
We do.
What does that look like?
Yes. I mean, we would love to hire.
Yes.
No, we're hiring for a project engineer and a superintendent right now. Okay. So
what does a project engineer do?
A project engineer is basically an assistant project manager. Okay. So they're handling the contracts, RFIs, submittals, change orders,
Got it.
A lot of paperwork, but then they're also working with the subcontractors. Yeah. So they get to be in the field as well, which is kind of cool. You know, you aren't stuck behind a desk all day, you know, you're in the field and you're also working on a computer. So it's kind of,
they're the bridge between the super, because the super's probably managing a couple different projects.
Right.
They're managing one and managing all the RFIs and stuff like that.
Yep, on multiple projects. Yep. Yes. Okay. And you know what? Typically, that is a job that you can get straight out of college, which is kind of nice, because then there's so much opportunity for growth.
Upward from there, yeah.
Yeah, and so we would love to hire somebody who wants to grow with our company, because we are new. We're growing very rapidly, and so we want to take somebody, help train them, but then also get their feedback and have them come to us with ideas. And then hopefully they stay within our company for years.
You think they need to go to college?
No, they do not actually have to go to college. No, we would love somebody who's in the trades actually to come. Those people are amazing because they've seen firsthand what needs to be happening. And so absolutely not. College doesn't always have to be the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation the other day with a young man, and just noticed, and I've kind of, this is anecdotal, but talking about wanting somebody maybe from the trades, very utility based in terms of being of utility.
Like
I can utilize some skills to make some things happen. And how important, I noticed for this one individual that there was really no concept of like you know what? I'll just figure it out. There was, nope, can't do it. It was just mm-hmm. automatic. Mm-hmm. And I personally, I've never been that guy. So for me, it like shines a red flag for me of understanding. How do you accept no?
Right.
How in my mind, and my dad, high school education, my mom was one of the only people to go to college out of her family. So they were very utility and know how to, I mean, they built their own house every time they've lived in it. It's crazy. Right. My mom shingled my house I grew up in.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Wild, right? But it's just fascinating. I think part of it's the technology. Everything's right at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. But just the idea of being able to problem solve at a very high level.
Right. Yes.
Is a skill in itself that people don't recognize.
You're right. Yes.
Because with the amount of resources that are out there, oh, I might just YouTube it. Good. If that's your resource, that is still a resource and you're still figuring it out on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's really interesting because I think when you talk about maybe getting somebody from the trades or mm-hmm. has some, you know, smaller mm-hmm. project management experience,
right.
they understand creative problem solving and you know what, give me some time. I'm going to make some connections and we're going to figure out a solution versus the college educated who hasn't really had struggle and be like, it's do or die. I got to figure this out.
Right. Yes.
You know, because necessity is the mother of all invention.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. So I just think that's really interesting. That's a great plug for people in the trades of any sort on any level, you know? So I think that's a great point. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, firsthand experience is truly the best because everyone can go and learn from a book, but once you're actually in the field and you're working and you're seeing those problems arise and you're solving them, that is the best experience that we could ever get. Mm. And so that's truly how I've learned, you know, is just being in the field, asking so many questions. And although they might be stupid questions, it's like, that's how I'm learning. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we have to learn from making mistakes. Mm-hmm. But it makes us better, right? And so yeah, you're absolutely right.
What is hey, I get a call to Elevate. Hey, is this Holly? Yeah, that's Holly. I think we're interested in building something. I've heard some great things about you. What's our next steps? I want to see if you're a good fit for us. Talk us through that process you guys have established and when it's go time and you say, hey, all team on board, this is our pitch.
Yeah. So we always want to sit down face to face. If that isn't possible, I mean, we will go anywhere that the client needs us to go. Mm-hmm. But we want to sit down face to face. What are your expectations for this project? You know, what exactly are you looking for? What are you envisioning? And then what are your budget expectations? What are your schedule expectations? Finding all of that out before we're spitting out information, you know? And so really just figuring out what is your dream and how can we help you to get that, right? Mm. So then once we've found out all of their expectations, then we can come back and say, okay, so let's figure out how we can get there, mm-hmm. right? And here are the steps to get there. So it's handholding, you know, and how involved do you want us to be? Do you have an architect involved? Do we need to introduce you to an architect, you know? Do you have any subs that you want to work with? So it's really just finding out all of their expectations. How do we get there? Let's take the steps to get there. And then, you know, if budget, for example, is one of their biggest issues, I guess, you know, they're very budget conscious. Okay, well, let's figure out you like this carpet. Well, here's a great alternative for that. You like these light fixtures. Here's a great alternative for that. That's going to be much less expensive. So it's value engineering, figuring out how we can hit their budget expectations. And then when it comes to schedule, you know, if schedule is extremely important to them, well, then let's cut out some of these, I guess, intricate details, because then we can get this done a lot quicker, right? Mm-hmm. If there's long lead times on certain materials, well, let's cut those out and come up with something that's going to be, you know, in stock mm-hmm. so that we can make the schedule go quicker. So
do you guys, so I call it pre-qualification.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, time is of the essence and that's the biggest commodity we all have, mm-hmm. right? So how much pre-qual, like phone conversation, validating this is going to be worth my time.
Sure, yeah.
What does that look like for you guys in this kind of space?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very difficult. But it depends on the client if it's worth it or not. You know,
You probably know some people already. Like, hey, we got to take this meeting.
Yeah, but it's okay. Are their expectations a little bit out of line? Are we ever going to make them happy?
Right.
You know?
Is this a win situation?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I think it's just, you know, when you're having that sit down face to face with them, you can kind of start to realize that. And also it their demeanor, you know, if they're going to, I guess, shop us, you know, and they're just in it for a low bid, we're probably not the right contractor for them, because what matters to us is the quality of the project. And so we might be a little bit more expensive. And if you know they're just going, I just want
pure low price. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we're probably not the right person for them, you know.
How long have you guys been in, like, been a business?
So we have only been in business for about a year and a half.
Oh, awesome. I thought it was a little longer.
Okay, no, so you know what? It's been amazing, the growth that we've seen in the year and a half.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I was a partner in another company prior to this. And so that really helped us get our feet off the ground as well. And then with the experience that we both bring to the table, we've built several projects. We've worked on millions of dollars of projects. And so that helped us. But I will tell you what really has helped is just networking and meeting people and getting introduced to people. And it really doesn't matter if it's going to lead to business for us. What matters is building relationships. And then eventually those people are referring you to people who do want to build, 1,000%. Right?
Yeah. It's a long-term play.
Exactly.
How crucial or maybe even how rare is the ability to connect people in your business? Like, how you said that's super important for you.
It is so important, yes.
But the rarity of people saying, hey, let's get a cup of coffee. I'd love to learn more about you. Join some networking groups or whatever that venue is. How do you think that's common? Or
I don't. I feel like people, I hate to generalize people, but people want to be here, right?
Up at the top. They can't see this if they're listening. Exactly. So at the top of the level. Okay. So we're at the top.
And so what we're trying to do is, okay, we're going to build this the smart way, and we're going to be very, very involved. Mm-hmm. And no matter how large we might get, we still want to be, Craig and I still want to be very involved. And we never want to get to the point to where we're not talking to the client one-on-one. So maybe we're not going to be a Kiewit, right?
Okay.
But we want to grow to a $50 million company, right? But we still want to be talking one-on-one just like this with the clients. We still want to be involved with our employees. We never want to get to that point where people are a number.
Yeah, you like that part of it?
Yeah, love it, yes.
You mentioned earlier, and I'm just drawn back to this, because you mentioned it a couple times, was culture and values. Have you and Craig are in lockstep on those. I mean, have you established out loud and referenceable, like, hey, these are my values. This is what we're making decisions based off of.
Yes, yes. I mean, basically, we have our core values for our company, and what really is important is our team. So that comes first, making sure that our team feels, you know, at welcome and like a family. And so that's really important. And then also putting the client first. So, you know, as long as we're following our core values as a team, we're going to see the growth that we want to see. As soon as somebody isn't following that, they're probably not the right fit,
right.
You know? And so, yes, that's extremely important for us.
How many people are on your team right now?
So right now we just have three others besides Craig and myself.
Yeah. Just so people know, the construction business is very common to have a management process-oriented team at top, and then they're working with consistent subs on the bottom that are doing and employing the vision, right?
Right.
Yes, exactly.
So just people understand, like, there's a lot going on.
Right.
It's just there's more contracted work below the top level.
Exactly. C-suite. Yeah. So we sub out 100% of our work. Yeah. We're not self-performing any of that work. And so, you know, a huge part of our process is also vetting our subcontractors that we're working with.
Right.
Because making sure that they're going to do a good job too. Of course, there's several people who are just, you know, running out of their truck and who knows what kind of quality of work they're doing. But what we're doing is we're actually meeting with the subcontractors in advance, seeing what type of work they do, and then going out for coffee with them and making sure that we're building that relationship too, because that is essential for every single project since we are subbing out all of our work.
That's cool.
So a little over a year ago, Holly's like, I'm ready for change again. Craig, you coming with me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, you go out on this limb. Talk about the risk-reward factor here. I mean, how does that conversation happen? And then, you know, what do you feel like maybe was straw that broke the camel's back is like, I got to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now or never.
I mean, basically, I knew we couldn't fail because we both have families to support, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know that you have to do a good job. And if you don't do a good job, you're not going to ever get work again, right? Because essentially, somebody's going to find out that she did a really shitty job, or, you know, their company did a really shitty job on this. So in order to succeed, we have to do a great job in order to get referrals, you know. And also it's just with networking, you know, we've been able to meet so many wonderful people. And so really that's what I wanted when we started Elevate, was just to go out and I say spread my wings, but really that's what I wanted to do, you know, go out and meet people. Mm-hmm. I love talking with people. I love having one-on-ones with people. And so that essentially, you know, with Craig and I, we worked so well together. We knew that. And we knew that we wanted to start something fresh. And I guess, you know, it was very scary. It still is. Every day is scary as a business owner, right?
Yeah, especially small,
yeah. Yeah. But we just know we can't fail. So
sounds like to me that you maybe weren't fully capable of doing all that before. Maybe you're a little restricted.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I felt almost like I had a ceiling, you know, and it was like, okay, I've hit that spot in my career. So how do I continue to move from here? Mm-hmm. And so I took a long time to kind of figure out what my next steps were. You know, it's scary not only being a business owner, but it's scary being a woman in the construction industry, mm-hmm. too.
It's intimidating a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. But you know what? I think as long as people know that, hey, I do know what I'm doing. And
competency wins everything, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I think the only way to do that is by going out. And unfortunately, you have to fail sometimes, but
yeah,
it just makes you better.
So interesting. So you bring up the idea of failure. What is your, how do you view failure? What does that mean to you? What does that word?
You know what? I just view it as a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. I've failed many times in my life, mm-hmm. but yeah. it's made me better. It's made me the person that I am. Mm-hmm. Failure doesn't have to be something that is the end all, right? You just need to use it as learning. Mm-hmm. So I don't view it as a bad thing. I think we all fail at certain things, and there's certain things that other people are better at. But yeah, I just view it as a stepping stone.
It shouldn't be a scarlet letter. It shouldn't be. Right?
No, it should not.
It's really be. Like, that's one thing I think that, I think we've gotten a little bit better, but you know what, people that want to go out and try new things, it's a little outside of comfort zone. How are you not embracing and championing the fact that they gave it a shot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, right. Try it again. Maybe now what'd you learn, take from it, right? Yeah, like
exactly.
I mean, I gotta imagine you've been doing this 16 years, you left one company, you were in the more of the soft space of being the brokerage side of things, went into the more of the hard space of being more hands-on, then did it again. You're a different person today than you were when you left the first time.
100%. Yes. Yeah. Right? Yes.
And it became a little bit easier the second time too.
Yeah.
To make
yeah.
the jump.
Not any less scary.
No, absolutely.
Just more confidence in yourself, probably.
Much more confidence. Yeah, 100%. Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I have no problem going to somebody and saying, hey, I messed up.
Or I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. I don't know. How yeah. can we fix this? Or here's a question that I have.
That's like a lack of experience thing. Like, I feel like yeah. the less experience you have, the less likely you are to admit your mistakes.
Yeah.
Or the myth that you don't know something. Right. The more experience you have, you're like, yeah, dude, there's so many little no, things I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And you can get through things a lot faster.
Totally.
Yes. Exactly. We always had a saying in the Marine Corps, bad news doesn't get better with time.
Yeah. What'd you say? What was that? What's your first part?
Bad news does not get better with time. Yeah. So who needs to know?
I like taking care of the bad news quick.
Yeah, so. Me too. Yeah.
Who needs to know, and have I told them yet? That's mm-hmm. which we got to get through.
That is Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss's book.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
I have not.
It's an incredible book really. For like what you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's basically one of the main keys of the book is how to deliver bad news.
Mm-hmm.
One okay. of the main, one, there's a few main themes, but that's one of them that I really took away.
Okay.
And basically you deliver bad news with giving it immediately. Like when the yeah. conversation starts, I got bad news.
Right.
And
right.
then you deliver the bad news mm-hmm. and people appreciate it. And I do. Like if someone has bad news, I hate when they like that. Butter me up in the beginning
no.
and then deliver the bad news.
Exactly.
It's like, it just ruined the whole high we were on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's just get it over with.
Yep. And hopefully yeah. you have some good news to follow, right?
Right.
Bad
yeah.
news first. And then
yeah, and he always says to end the conversation on a positive note.
Exactly.
Start with negative, end with positive.
Yes. I like yeah. that.
So, how do you balance all this? So mom, Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Proud mom of how many kiddos?
Three.
Yep. Three
boys or girls?
Yep. I've got two boys and a girl. Oh, so nice. 10, 8, and 4.
Okay.
Dang. Yeah. Nice.
Married.
Married. Yep.
How long have you been married?
Oh gosh, you got to put me on the
too
spot
long?
Like that.
Too long. Too long. Oh man, usually it's me.
I hope he's not watching. Dang.
You have been working in the man industry a little bit, male dominated. Yeah. I don't know. You've been too busy. Yeah. Yeah.
Since 2011.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I know so, the year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. 12 years.
That's 13 years.
13 years. Yeah. Same.
I got you.
Yeah. Good. So how has that been balancing? Hey, mom. You know, mom. Mom's going to do a new endeavor. You know, hey, we got.
What does your husband do, by the way?
Yeah, what is?
So he works for Dexter, which is they provide axles for semi trailers.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
That is definitely not a sexy job, right?
What an interesting job. Never met anybody that does that.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting. Yeah,
it's very interesting.
That's cool.
But he's been in the trailer industry for 15 years. So
over road trip, yeah.
Yeah. No, I will say it is definitely a struggle to balance it all. It is absolutely a struggle. And it's a lot of hours that are put into the job. And unfortunately, sometimes that comes at a cost because I don't get to spend as much time with my kids that I would love to. But I also, you know what, Elevate is also my baby. So in a way, it's like, okay, yeah, they understand it and they think it's really cool because they get to see some of the projects that we've built and they love that. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a struggle. I won't say it's easy.
So I was driving to school this morning, dropped my daughter off, and at our school there's a assembly every morning. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they talk with, and my daughter always wants me to be there. And she asked if I could be there. I said, no, I have an appointment. I cannot be there, which this is the appointment.
Yeah.
And she goes, I just don't get it, Dad. I don't get it why you can't work one day a week. Like, Mom, I wish you could work one. I mean, even two. I want you there every day. I want to be able to see you, which obviously filled my heart that she wants my presence, which is great. But with her, even as advanced as kids are and how aware they are, what are you hoping they start to recognize from some of these sacrifices that you know, I wouldn't even call them sacrifices in a sense, because any of us that are self-employed, running business, they are not they are sacrifices of the external, but the internal are choices.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're commitments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you're playing the long game.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you seeing, or what are you hoping is something they're able to see and recognize over time? Maybe not right away, but be like, I know Mom was doing this.
I mean, I hope that they see the work ethic, mm-hmm. you know? I think that growing up, my parents both worked, and my dad actually was in construction for a long time. And I mean, seeing the work ethic from my parents led me to where I am. And so I also have that. And I hope that my kids see that. But I also hope that they see, you know, the integrity that goes into that. Being honest and open with people is so important. And so we're trying to teach our kids that. And so I hope that they see that as well. And, you know, I know it sounds so cliche, but to be kind, you know. And so they don't, when they see me talking to other clients or they hear me on the phone, I want them to know that, you know, I have a really good heart, mm-hmm. and I want them to also be the same way, mm-hmm. you know? And so just to be kind to people, but it really is a work ethic. So, you know, there's a lot, like I said, there's so many hours, but it's not always easy for them to understand. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually when they grow up, they're going to see that. And
well, kids learn by what's caught versus what's taught most of the time. So
what's caught?
Mm-hmm. They catch it. I mean, they see it.
Yeah,
they're right.
Exactly.
They're not, I mean, you can tell somebody about gratitude and they know what it means, but to understand what it means to show gratitude is felt.
Yes.
And that is something that is done and seen over repetition, you know, step by step. So that's a great point. And, you know, I think, you know, we say, balance is, I think of people talking about juggling balls, you're balancing these things. It's a harmony. You're trying to find a harmonious, a harmonizing cadence to life where I am present wherever I'm at. I feel like that's what you're kind of getting at.
Yes,
it sounds absolutely. Like, I want to make sure I'm present for my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm showing them that they are a priority. Because when you say no to something, you're saying yes to something else, or vice versa.
Right.
So, hey, no, I don't have time for you, means you're saying yes to something else.
Exactly.
So I think that's probably, you know, a challenge, but I think you're right. Over time, they're seeing that. And it sounds like maybe you and your husband have a good communication style where you're mutually supporting one another, but they're seeing this. I think that's really hard. You know, you don't your job doesn't always have to necessarily end at 5 p.m. You come home.
Not at all.
Make it take a call.
Yeah.
Maybe over the weekend, traveling.
Right.
Making some tough decisions. And they don't understand sometimes where that's coming from at that age.
Exactly.
For a long time.
Yeah.
What would you say is some things that you've learned in the past, you know, through these couple transitions that you're mm-hmm. like, because this happened, I'm going to do it this way this time. Mm-hmm. You know, recognizing some of these, you know, I would say, shortfalls, but definitely some, hey, that we're going to do it differently. Mm-hmm. What were some of those things that you've kind of noticed in your own tactics as kind of, you know, navigating this process?
I think it's just communication style. So I guess it's not what you're saying, it's how somebody is interpreting what you're saying. And so mm-hmm. I've had to learn, I guess, how to change my communication style because I haven't always been good at that. And so I guess that was definitely one of my shortfalls for sure. Also just confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as long as you're confident and okay, maybe this project isn't going as planned, but you know what? We are going to get you there. Mm-hmm. And maybe we had this issue and maybe we messed up, but this is what happened. We're going to own this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, it didn't go. It wasn't a dream project, but we're going to get you there, mm-hmm. right? And I think in the past, I was kind of scared to own mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so now I've got that confidence where, yeah, I'm going to own it. And this is how we're going to make it better, right?
So confidence definitely grows, obviously, through experience. You're gaining that. And you mentioned some communication style. Mm-hmm. I mean, was there some tools you're using? Or how did you recognize that needed to change? And how are you kind of adapting the new set, you know what I mean? Like, what does that look like for you?
Right. I mean, I've had to take a lot of criticism, you know, I've been told. And so I think it's always trying to better myself, you know, reading books mm-hmm. and listening to other people and always just trying to improve. And so, yeah, asking people, how can I do this a little bit better? Or what's a better way to say this? Or That's a tough one to answer, but yeah, I guess just taking the criticism and
let me ask a follow up on that then, if you wouldn't mind, and I'll kind of dive in. There was a lesson I learned one time, and it was when I was in college, I was rushing a fraternity, and you know, there's like a pledge class president, and I was a hard charger, wanted to do this, and mm-hmm. But I was not kind of part of the masses, and this guy says, Tyson, you got to learn how to step back, follow before you lead. And I was like, so it kind of hit me in the chest, but mm-hmm. totally made me realize like how I was approaching the whole process was wrong. And that helped down the road a ton, but it was a very almost emasculating, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm curious, would you mind sharing maybe an example that you're like, I took a criticism and man, it was kind of hard to swallow initially, but looking back, that really helped me understand what I was doing. Maybe that wasn't quite as effective.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, yeah, a good example is just being told exactly that. It was, well, I delivered news to a client, for example, and I'm like, well, I said it this way, but the client understood it completely differently.
Yeah.
So it's asking more questions to the client, you know, or...
And you said the client said something?
It wasn't the client, but okay. It was, you know, a counterpart that said something to me. And so I didn't get it though. I'm like, mm-hmm. well, but I said this, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, no. How you said it though is being interpreted a different way.
Wow.
And so then it was, okay, I do need to change my communication mm-hmm. style. And it's not always about being right.
Yes.
And I think that was a hard lesson. It was, okay, yeah, maybe there is a different way to think about this.
What a great yeah. lesson in a sense that, and this is for all those listeners out there, those hundreds of thousands that are listening to this podcast, that looking at it in the positive, the criticism
mm-hmm.
and how defensive we by nature we can
yeah,
get.
Yeah, actually.
And defensive to me almost means that I'm putting up a defense to grow. I am putting up a fence in the way of growth.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I think about defense. If I'm saying defense about something, I am having so much ego mm-hmm. that, you know what? I'm still going to be right. Well, at least to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. That's a beautiful example of saying, and I kudos to the person who said something because that mm-hmm. also takes cojones.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
That, hey, there's some trust here, mm-hmm. which is a major part of growth is that you trust the person that you're getting some instruction from. Right. And I think that, you know, for anybody that don't shy away of criticism, if you own the situation, like you sound like you did, or at least were able to digest it over
yes.
time, that I'm actually going to reevaluate how I'm communicating and making sure that my message is being received properly, mm-hmm. completely changes your communication style.
Exactly, yes.
And probably really changes your approach when you're in that first initial meeting with your clients.
Yes.
And then your follow-up ones after that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, a little bit more on that. In a partnership, I think it's very easy to be defensive because – you know, your partner might say, and that there's a good example there, you know, Craig and I are always trying to tell it, you know, I guess, figure out how we can improve as a business. But it's very easy if he's telling me something to get defensive and be like, no, you know. But what I've learned is I just need to listen mm-hmm. and then, okay, digest it, like you said, right, before I speak. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? We're both coming up with different ideas and maybe neither of us are right. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to both figure out a better way to do things. But I will say I used to be like, no, you know, like right away, no. But now it's like, okay, I'm going to listen. I'm going to understand what you're saying before I speak. And
I think too, I don't necessarily share this with my clients all the time, but I'm going to say this here, is very rarely do we have an emergency that needs to be done right now. Mm-hmm. And nothing, almost everything can wait 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, so with that being said, maybe you don't even need to answer right away. You know what? Mm-hmm. I just need to think about that. Let me make a note of this. And let's get back together tomorrow for 10 minutes and just kind of think about this.
Right.
And I think that's really important that people, I know if you're any type of, if there's any element of type A in your mentality, or you want to establish value as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So you want to try to establish your hill, you'll die. I know this.
Yeah.
I'm bringing something to the table.
Right.
And you don't want to feel like somebody's going to override you because they might know something different or have a different angle on it that might be right in your, or might be what's being used. Mm-hmm. So you tend to not feel as useful.
Right.
And so I think that's a great point. I think that the fact that, hey, it's not a me win here. If the client doesn't win, nobody wins.
Exactly.
Right? And just like in the family, you know, if you're talking at your spouse all the time, that is unhealthy.
Right.
And that you can feel that at home right away, right? Mm-hmm. And your kids see it, or your clients and the subs see it.
Right.
And so I think it's really important that you're identifying a very, very unique skill set of, hey, the old adage, listen first, mm-hmm. talk later. But hey, let's make sure we get to know everybody's on the same page with our understanding.
Right.
And then also that we can still be successful with the information we're given. Mm-hmm. And let's go put it into play now.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. What, you know, if you were to say, you know, Elevate is this and Elevate will be this eventually, what does that look like to you?
That's a great question. Elevate is a commercial general contractor, but we want to be the preferred general contractor.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
So we want to be the contractor that people know they can go to for quality projects. We want to be the contractor that people go to when it might be super difficult. And I always tell Craig, I said, we do difficult projects. Like, we're just really good at doing the projects that nobody else wants to do. Mm. You know, it's easy to look at plans and this is how it's built. But what if you're doing a renovation where it's an old building and all of a sudden you open a wall and, you know, surprise, there's something there that wasn't on the plans, right? So we want to be that contractor that people know they can go to because we're going to solve those problems.
Yeah.
I will tell you, and this is just a challenge for you, because I know quite a decent amount about construction, mm-hmm. not to the level of like a professional, but I'm hearing something in there from you that is passion from you, mm-hmm. and putting a distinct and succinct line of what you're saying, I could tell is like, it's so close where mm-hmm. I'm like, I was ready to just be like, gosh, that sounds awesome. And I don't even know, that's not even my space.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to kind of dive down that a little bit more.
Okay.
And kind of fine tune that, talk with Craig, because there is something there that is going to intrigue a lot of people and it's going to mm-hmm. be a hook. So I love seeing that and just know, go down that deeper, because it's usually in the darkest caves where the treasure lies.
Right.
And I can see in your face, we're like, you said good question. So you hadn't thought about it a ton, but you started trying to articulate it, and
you feel what it is.
Yes.
That's part of the articulating.
So put some words to it. And you mentioned earlier that we wouldn't be a $50 million company. Mm-hmm. What does a $50 million company do that you're not doing right now? And that's probably your gap. Okay. And so I just would encourage you, because I can see that. And if I'm a potential client, I'm like, that's our girl. That's who we're, Elevate's our person. That's who we're going.
Yeah.
So good luck on that. I hope
thank you. I appreciate that.
Objective observation.
Yes.
Just get after that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I hope that people see our passion for building. You know?
It's pretty easy to tell.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
good.
It should.
Good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
And I think that's something that I'm probably, you say that you probably didn't even recognize you're doing differently, is in past construction, so just tangible.
Yeah, there's no passion in that.
You know, right? Yeah. And it's just like kind of this curmudgeon-y, gruff guy. Hey, we're building things. We're erecting buildings.
Right.
But you're saying, hey, we're showing a passion for space and being a champion for what you're trying to do to build your legacy and ours.
Right.
It's all, everybody can win here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really cool concept that I think part of that is a passion for your passion, you know?
Right. How cool is it to see a piece of ground and then, you know, all of a sudden transforms. You've got this beautiful building.
It is super cool. It's super cool.
Yeah. And you can really, people can figure out all the details that they want in that building. And it's just, it's really cool.
It is cool.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, any parting shots or anything that you want to leave our audience with, or maybe advice for folks that maybe you've done a couple different transitions, been in a couple different startup situations that you would give to folks out there that, you know, you could have just as easily say, no, I'm going to hang on for a few years and just see where I'm at versus like taking a leap. What do you say to people?
If you have the aspirations to have a company, you know, or you have a dream for a company or a culture, you got to go for it. Because if you are passionate enough about it, you're going to make it work. You're going to be successful if you're doing the right thing and putting your heart into it.
And so, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Right.
You go work for somebody else again?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I knew I never wanted to do that again. I knew I wanted to build a good culture, right? Exactly. And so just do the right thing. So.
Well, Holly, this is a pleasure, man. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And thank you for sharing your passion with us today about Elevate and the future and how you've overcome a ton of different stuff and just taken it head on. You've been to Buffalo that's run towards a storm versus a cow that cowers in the group. So,
We'll have you back on once you hit 50 mil in the next six to 8 months.
Yeah. Totally big projects, right? Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
All right.